and step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 327. My name, as always, is Lisa Sheps. I am joined sometimes, and as always, all at the same time, by Miss Nicole Shiro as our lovely co-host. You're listening to us on KOOP Hornsby Austin 91.7 FM, streaming live at koop.org. Remember, if it's theater, it's on Offstage and On the Air. Don't go away.
The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up. Feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh, yeah.
It is Wednesday, September 19th. That's not right. It is some other date. It's the 16th of September, 2015. On the show today, we are joined by Teatro Vivo and their show, El Nogalar, and also Jarrett Productions and his production of Freud's Last Session. And of course, we will have lively discussions of the world of theater in New York, in Austin, in Chicago, in Vienna, and in Timbuktu.
But most of all, being what you are.
Thank you.
I like that you responded to that song.
So thank you very much. And I have that there specifically because the membership drive was very successful. And I just wanted to thank everybody who joined in and became a member of Co-op Radio
over the past two weeks. I think this year we had someone do it via online while we were on air. That was new and exciting.
Yeah, VO, as we say it in the business.
VO.
It was a VO. So who here is a member of this radio station here in the listening audience? Wow. Everybody raised their hands.
Everybody.
That's amazing.
Everybody.
That's amazing, the support that this
radio
station.
The power of community, huh?
Yes. Oh, boy, was that the wrong question to ask.
That's why it's radio. People can't see if we raise our hands or not.
Yep. No, you raised your hand. Checking in with you, Nicole Shiro.
Hi, Lisa Sheps. I'm okay.
You're tired. You seem tired.
I'm tired.
You're busier than a one-armed paper hanger.
I am. This week is a very crazy busy week, but that's
crazy,
okay.
Busy week, but it's okay.
And how are you, Lisa Sheps?
About the same.
I know. You and I have been like crazy together.
Yeah, but you know what? That's life and that's what we love. You know, I was talking to...
Busy bees are active bees and good bees.
That's true.
I know. I'm smart, right?
And we're talking that, you know...
Words of wisdom.
Those of you that lived in Chicago at a time would know the busy bee.
Oh,
there you go.
I miss that diner.
Pierogies.
Oh.
What a great remix with Tracy Schultz.
I love that Tracy Schultz.
He had Amber and Derek on. So
because he was all excited. We had them on,
we
too.
We had them on first, and he got them second, although he had them for a full hour.
I know.
He didn't get them for that long. Oh, well.
Oh, well.
But, you know, Amber Tamblyn and I are like this.
You're such a smarty pants.
I'm the
pants.
Thumb.
Well, that's so cool. They're in their shows, I think, tonight, isn't it?
I think it is.
Yes,
at the
is.
Spider House Ballroom.
Lasers of
Ding,
Sex-a-lips.
Somebody did not turn their ringer off. Oh, that would be me.
Sorry.
I never do.
We go behind the curtain here.
We do. We learn how to make the sausage at Offstage and On the Air. Speaking of sausage, as a reminder to everybody, we've not been able to go backstage for the past 2 weeks because they've been doing construction back there.
I know.
But the construction is over. We're able to go backstage. So if you're listening to the podcast, three cheers for you. Hip, hip.
Hooray!
Hip, hip.
Hooray!
Hip, hip.
Hooray!
And Offstage and On the Air first, folks. You heard it right here. Three cheers for you. If you're listening on there, you should be listening to the podcast.
I know, because today you won't learn the trivia answer while you're tuning in live.
You won't. And if Lisa's good, she'll remember to have you
remember
ask the question.
It. I know.
No, I highlighted it in the script this time.
Oh, you did.
So remember, Backstage and Offstage is part of the podcast that you can get on iTunes or Stitcher or at offstageonair.com. Put it in your name, and we just send it to you. You just get it, whatever you want.
Voila.
So let's talk about who's here. So we're going to start with Rudy Ramirez. Hi, Rudy.
Hello, Lisa.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
Krista Gonzalez.
Hi.
Bye.
The sole sitter in the group. I don't. There's no judgment here, but some people are lazy and some people aren't. Olivia Jimenez.
You're on fire today.
I am. And Griselda Silva.
Hello.
Hello. And then over in this corner, we have David Jarrett. I'm trying to decide who goes first. It's like either the director or the producer. I'm going to say the producer, David Jarrett.
Hello. How are you?
And Fritz Ketchum.
Good morning, Lisa.
And Tyler Jones.
Hello.
And I think just about everybody has been on this show before, haven't they? Has anybody not been on our show? A couple of you.
That's not bad.
I don't know if that's good.
Or as you would say, dos.
Dos.
My Espanol
that's
for the day.
That's how we say it in Paris.
I know. You're that really is, impressed, is. Right? Yeah.
So that little song where I thanked everybody, thank you very much, was from a show called Maggie Flynn. Has anybody ever heard of it? Maggie Flynn? I hadn't either, and it's about the New York draft riots of 1863.
Oh, that
was
David.
Bad.
You were
David,
there, weren't you?
I was there. Yeah.
You had an incident,
marching,
didn't you?
Yeah.
You were marching. Well, and this had something to do with racial things, and I'm not sure exactly. They don't really. And I didn't do the really good researcher that I am. I didn't go and research what the New York draft riots of 1863. My intentions were to do it, but I didn't. Do you know what they are, really?
Yeah.
What are they?
Well, it's the idea that there was the conscription of a lot of the Irish immigrants coming in
right.
to fight in the Civil War. And a lot of it was about like they were taking out their frustration on the African-American population in New York.
Okay, cool. So this was about a woman who runs an orphanage of African-American children. And it starred Shirley Jones and Jack Cassidy.
Interesting.
Hmm. Interesting. Who are husband or were husband
and are. They were, right?
Were, are. I don't know. I don't know anybody.
I don't know.
Okay.
I thought it was a word.
They were at the time. But you know, some of the orphans, newcomers to the scene. This was, by
was
the way.
Was Annie there?
Annie who?
Little. It's you said orphan.
Annie.
It was a joke.
Oh, la, la, la. Well, but Stephanie Mills was
oh,
an orphan.
Really?
Irene Cara was an orphan.
Really?
And then maybe you guys, oh, yeah, Giancarlo Esposito.
What?
Also an orphan. What? What? So here's the plot. I'm going to read the whole little, this is, people can find this on Wikipedia. During the American Civil War, Maggie Flynn, a young Irish woman, Irish woman living in New York City, marries Phineas, a charming man, but a scoundrel. Who leaves her to join the circus. Well, story of my life.
Yeah, I was just about to go. That's happened to me.
Maggie runs an orphanage for black orphans and is soon engaged by Colonel John Faraday, a steady and faithful beau. However, Phineas, now called the Clown, returns to win back his wife. They become caught up in the New York draft riots of 1863, and the orphanage burns down.
Oh, it's a very happy and uplifting show.
Uplifting shows. Anyway, so that's
how long did that one last?
Actually, it got some Tony nods.
Yeah.
And it lasted. I guess I should say the music and lyrics are by Hugo Peretti, Luigi Creatore, and George David Weiss.
So the Italians and the Jewish people were writing about the Italian, the Irish riots.
1968.
I love
for 82
that.
Performances. I mean, that's respectable. That's... And they played the same, you know, because it always comes back to my, I always have to like do my
your theater.
My theater. Came in the same show, the same theater that I performed in Oh Brother.
I was
the
about
Anta.
To say, would that be Oh Brother?
That would be Oh Brother. So that was Maggie Flynn. We did have an opening that I found very interesting.
So did I.
This one?
The Nicole Kidman?
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're already eyeing it to come to New York.
Oh, it's definitely coming to New York. Photograph 51. Have anybody heard of it?
No.
Photograph 51 opened on the West End just the other day, and it was.
She's a DNA scientist.
Yeah, Nicole Kidman stars in it, and I was interested. I saw the headline. I was interested. I said because I don't know that she's done a lot of theater, but she has done some. Mm-hmm. But she hasn't done it on the West End in 17 years.
I was going to say she's been in New York way more.
Yeah.
Recently
yeah.
than
didn't she do
England.
The Blue Room?
She did.
Which was the Schindler, the adaptation of the Schindler play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. She is, I mean, the things I've never seen her perform live, but I've seen her films, and I think she is dynamite.
Mm-hmm.
And so does Ben Brantley.
I was about to say, and
I'm in
so
good company.
Did the review.
Yep.
Art reviews, I should say.
She says, he says, Miss Kidman makes it clear that she's in charge here, and woe unto those who doubt it. There you go. And so it's really good. So it's about this woman who was central in the creating of the DNA, the discovering of the DNA molecule, or DNA. I guess it's not a molecule. I'm not a scientist. Everybody's looking at me.
Essential to identifying the mysteries of DNA.
Correct. And it was an old boys club. So this is a feminist manifesto in a lot of ways. She was not recognized for it. I don't believe she won. She was part of the group that won the Pulitzer. It was James Watson, Francis Crick, and Maurice Wilkins.
She's Rosalind Franklin.
Her name is. Yes. I was about to say. By the way, her name is
Rosalind
Franklin.
Yeah. No. There's been a lot of playwrights I know have been like obsessed with her lately. So I've heard a number of plays about her. So that's good to know.
Yeah. So I have another word here. So this is something that I should have known, but I didn't. So I'm going to leave it up to those of you that are smarter than me to say. So this is the word that he said that I'll read the sentence and you can tell me what it means in context. That 1998 work is a great epistemological mystery story. Epistemological. What does it mean? Go. Anybody?
Well, it's related to an epistle. It's kind of a story-like.
Well, it's...
Would be my guess.
Yeah. Anybody else? Okay, here's the actual definition. It is a noun from philosophy. It's the theory of knowledge, especially with regard to its methods, validity, and scope. Epistemology is the investigation of what distinguishes justified belief from opinion.
That's pretty much what I said.
That is exactly what you said.
I think it was exactly what I said.
Yeah, so look for it when it comes to New York.
I know. The stills of it looked really pretty.
Yeah, they did.
They've had them out for a while now before it opened, and I've been like, wow, this is kind of cool.
Yep.
It's very modern looking, even though it's
You'd be very surprised to know what the title, Photograph 51, refers to.
Tell me, Lisa.
A photograph.
Yes.
I'm guessing as around the 51st one.
It was the one where she found
speaking
everything.
Speaking of where it's talking science, who knows what WD-40 stands for? Anybody?
No.
WD-40.
Water distillation 40.
God, you're so close. Water displacement 40th attempt.
Displacement.
Yeah. What do you want to talk about next?
And why did that come up? Where did that come from?
The 51st, the 51st photograph.
I thought maybe you had a WD-40 moment.
No, I'm trying to get into my mind. It's not an easy place. What do you want to talk about?
You know what I want to talk about? I find this fascinating. David Jarrett, I think it's kind of cool you're here because it's about the sheer madness.
Oh, one
yes,
of my favorites.
I know.
I didn't know you. Well, go ahead. Let her talk and then I want to find out what your connection with sheer madness
is. Did you realize it's the off-Broadway premiere?
Now?
Yes, it's going to be off-Broadway.
I don't think it's been in New York.
No, which is so crazy because it's one of the longest-running shows. 11 million people around the world have seen this show, and it's actually opening off-Broadway. I think that is so cool, and it kind of threw me off. I was like, really?
I haven't gotten a call yet.
Really?
And I have a connection to the original.
Do you?
Yes.
I didn't know you had it.
Well, my roommate at the time, back in the 70s and 80s, Mark Baltazar was the original stage manager. So I spent a lot of time with the creative team as they were putting it together.
What a wacky,
as an adjunct person.
Fun
in Boston.
Little show. But you and I like those immersive.
It's a wonderful show. And what was fun to, it was fun to, because you've done it.
I did it at Zach the last time it was done and we ran for 6 months. I could easily have done another 6 months. Like, it was so
because I house
fun
managed with you. Night. We'd see each other running around in the theater. That's why I was like.
What was fun to see about it, and for those that don't know, there's a lot of audience participation. It's a murder mystery. The audience chooses the ending. But what was fun in their creation was answering the audience's objections. And one specific was the toothbrush.
Yes.
And is it wet? Did that come up with you guys?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
So that was actually that was a result of audiences asking a question. Some audience member once asked, "Was it wet?" And of course, it wasn't. It was just a prop toothbrush. But then from that point forward, it was always.
Had to
and
be
then
wet.
There was some purposeful breaking of characters that weren't purposeful to begin with. When the cop kisses,
yes,
that was all done in rehearsal or in performance in Boston.
That would be a cool show to work on originally creating.
Yeah,
but I was.
When
kind
is
of
it open and where is it?
I want to say October. I just
you want to say it? I would just say it. Then.
I think it's October 22nd as previews begin.
Where
October New World Stages okay. October 22nd and opening night is scheduled for November.
Anybody have note in it?
They didn't say cast and design team for an open-ended engagement will be announced at a later date.
Well, then I still have a chance.
You still have a chance. You got a few weeks to get up there.
That's where I saw Freud's last session, as a matter of fact, New World Stages.
At New World Stages.
Oh, yeah. How funny. Bring it. See, we like it when it all comes back together.
In 2010, right?
You should see the script for Sheer Madness. The script is about the size of two old telephone books because of all the questions.
Right.
They have all the possible questions that the audience could ask.
It is
one
of
inevitably, they will ask you something that's not in there.
It is one of the more fun shows out there.
It is.
Going from the light to the not so light, we did have we lost a Tony winning director who I unfortunately didn't know him, but he's done a lot of work. Melvin Bernhardt passed away. He's known for the thing that I recognize him the most was Da. He directed that. He won a Tony for that. He is known as the actors a big time actors director, and they just went on a list in his obituary about the actors that worked with him. Ron Liebman, Linda Lavin. I mean, there's a whole bunch of them.
I love Linda.
He did.
Lavin.
He's the original. He was the director of the effect of gamma rays on the Man in the Moon Marigold.
Oh, okay.
You love it, Fritz?
Yeah.
Not one of my favorites.
Really?
Well, not one. Same guy who wrote "And Miss Reardon Drinks a Little," which he also did. My master's thesis.
Yeah. Oh, cool! So he directed that as well. Paul Zindel, and "Crimes of the Heart," Beth Henley's play, etc. So we'll dim the lights here in the studio for him.
All right.
So there's a new aggregate show, New York show website. Similar to Did He Like It, but not more like Yelp for theater.
Okay.
And it's called showscore.com. There's a link on our site, offstageonair.com, to look at it. I glanced through it, and I meant to pull it up here so we could talk about it. Because they have things in sections about, you know, what kind of show. Fun shows, family shows, lighthearted shows. And it's really sort of bears down to the lowest common denominator person that might want to go see a show.
They
don't sell tickets on the site, so it's not revenue producing, or it's not pushed by that. And then they have you can join it and make reviews yourself. And the more reviews you make, you can become, you know, it's a very driven, public driven thing. It's very interesting.
That's cool. You saw that? I said it to you a few weeks ago. You saw the junior reviewers? They have young kids getting out to review Broadway now.
Yeah, we talked about
now.
That. I think.
I mean, we didn't get to it, I don't think. Right. I don't know, but I think that's awesome, too.
Yep. What, you go?
Well, you know, we'll stay a little bit with Nicole Kidman and go a little bit with some Hedwig people and your curious dog. Did you see the new
movie?
You don't get
through an Offstage on the Air with Nicole without talking about Hedwig.
Hey, I haven't talked about Hugh Jackman in a long time.
He's on my list later.
Okay, well, I just said it. Hugh Jackman. Did you get the article I sent you, the Curious Incident Dog of the
Night? I was not able to look at any of the articles you sent.
Okay, well, Alex Sharp just left the show. He is joined by a whole bunch of other folks. John Cameron Mitchell, who wrote Hedwig, is doing a new movie. And he will be part of it now. He was just announced. It's also Nicole Kidman, Ruth Wilson, Elle Fanning. It is going to be called...
What is it?
The movie, I'm telling you, it's going to be called How to Talk to Girls at Parties.
And what does that have to do with Hedwig other than John Cameron Mitchell?
John Cameron Mitchell wrote it. He's bringing all the nice, good Broadway people we love in it.
Okay, cool. Lovely.
It's going to be like a Romeo and Juliet like tale with like burlesque and between punks and aliens.
Oh, that's the Neil Gaiman short story.
Yes.
Nice.
See? Bringing it all back to... That is...
Bringing it all back to Neil
Gaiman.
See,
our listeners want to know, even our... audience.
Okay,
does.
So I'm going to talk about two things real quick, and then we're going to go to the trivia question. Billy Joe Armstrong has a new musical called "These Paper Bullets," a modish ripoff of William Shakespeare's "Much Ado About Nothing." You heard of it?
No.
Anybody?
We knew he was writing something else, but this.
So it is. It's in previews right now at the Geffen Theater in wherever the Geffen Theater is.
It's in LA, isn't it?
It's in LA, yep. And it's done in conjunction with the Atlantic Theater in New York, and it's going to be opening in New York after the Geffen. And it was commissioned by Yale Rep. It's like all over the shop.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah, but you know what? American Idiot was all over the shop like that too, so he must have made a lot of good friends along that way.
That's true. So here's the press note. Meet the Quartos, Ben, Claude, Balf, and Pedro. Their fans worship them. Scotland Yard fears them, and their former drummer will stop at nothing to destroy them. Can these Fab Four from Liverpool find true love in London and cut an album in 7 nights?
Okay, that's kind of hilarious. There you go.
And this is something I saw back in July, and I just forgot. This is like new rules for theater goers. And some of these are sort of interesting or fun.
Did Playbill make them up themselves, or did someone post them somewhere?
No, this came from the National Post.
Oh, interesting.
So it says, don't talk during the show becomes don't FaceTime during the show. No smoking during the performance becomes no vaping during the performance.
That's funny. The e-cigarettes.
Don't take photographs become don't periscope the show. Which I had not heard that term before, but as soon as I read it, I knew exactly what they were talking about.
It's a whole thing now. There's an app, yeah. But Hugh Jackman does it a lot.
Respect other people's space becomes don't manspread.
That's funny.
And then finally, don't eat during the show becomes don't eat during the show. So what is our trivia question for today? Just a reminder, we're going to ask a trivia question. Nobody shout out the answers. We will answer it when we first start backstage at Offstage.
Well, I thought I would try to redeem Chicago since Rumor Willis has been just jerking it around lately and can't get together and get on stage and keeps pushing her opening for excuses. So I'm going to redeem this lovely musical with some trivia. In 1975, brought us Chicago, for which Ed wrote the libretto and director-choreographer Bob Fosse.
He wrote it with it.
This was billed as musical vaudeville about those scintillating sinners, Roxy, played by Gwen Verdon, and Velma, played by Cheetah Rivera, and their slick lawyer, Billy Finn, our favorite Jerry Orbach. Roxy, while on the stand, uses all the tricks Velma planned to use at her trial. What was she wearing? A lavalier down to there. B, her granny's shawl. C, a Victorian cameo pin. D, an Alice blue gown. Or E, silver shoes with rhinestone buckles.
So the question is, what was Roxy wearing during the trial? Correct?
Yes.
Okay. We will answer that first thing at Backstage at Offstage. In the meantime, we're going to take a little break, and we're going to come back, and we are going to talk to El Nogalar and learn all about that. This is a song called The Hot Dog Song from Bullets Over Broadway, and I chose that because of these paper bullets.
I want a hot dog for my
We roll. Are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Nicole Shiro and Lisa Sheps, the both of us. And we're here talking with Teatro Vivo and their production of El Nogalar. We're talking to Rudy Ramirez, the director. Hi, Rudy.
Hello. How's it going, Lisa?
I was like, wait a minute. You're not Rudy.
They all moved around.
They musicaled on
me. Olivia Jimenez.
Hello.
Hello. We have Griselda Silva.
Hello.
And and Krista Gonzalez.
Hi.
Hi. So this is an encore performance, is it not?
Indeed, it is. We originally went up earlier this summer, and some professors from UT saw it, and they're big fans of the play, and so I said, well, if you can get this on some syllabi, we can get this back up. And they did. And so.
You got it on a syllabi?
We got it on like three syllabi.
Is that legal?
Yes.
Is that legal?
That's in Texas, it's legal.
So is this done specifically for schools then?
It is open to the public. Uh-huh. But we have a lot of UT students coming over the performances.
How great. What a wonderful thing. So you got it. You got it on their. Syllabi. I was trying to think of a different word, but I can't
think of syllabi as syllabi. I don't know how to swap that one out.
Well, it's, you know, everybody accuses me of being syllabi. So this is a Chekhov, or sort of a, it's a based on a Chekhov, loosely.
Right, yeah. So Tania Saracho, who's a playwright, she was in Chicago for a long time. She's in L.A. right now, writing for How to Get Away with Murder. She said that Chekhov was the most Chicano author that she read, player that she read while she was in college. And so she decided, she worked a lot with, she found...
Why did she say that?
I think for her it was the ways in which he talks very explicitly about class. And that the system in Russia is very similar to the one in Mexico.
Okay.
You know, and I think that the family connections and the ways in which, like, it's, you know, that blend of humor and drama as well, that there's the funny and the tragic. I mean, like, to me, it's like it, and it translates. I love the way it translated, but so she took the sprawling cast of the Cherry Orchard to distill it down to five characters, in contemporary northern Mexico, and they're dealing with the drug crisis and losing money and all those lovely Chekhovian things.
Lovely. So let's go down the line and see what roles that you guys are playing. I'm assuming we have different names. We don't have Chekhovian names.
We have little variations on Chekhovian names.
We have little variations. I love that. Okay, Olivia, what do you play?
I play Valeria, who's the older sister who's been kind of torn from her life and brought back to the family home, kind of left to deal with all of this mess with the cartels encroaching on the land. And she, as Rudy put it so eloquently yesterday, has no chill. She is so high strung. It's not even funny, but it's totally understandable within the context how tightly wound she is.
I love how no chill. People say that about me, too. Griselda, who do you play?
I play Anita.
In West Side Story?
No. Yes. No. Her name is Ana Maria, and she goes by Anita.
Of course.
And she is very much the boarding school princess. She has lived in boarding schools. And she's the one that Tania Saracho relates to quite a lot because she is very mixed up in her Americanness and in her Mexicanness.
Okay.
So
okay.
It's her battle of identity.
And Krista?
I play Dunya the maid. She has all the chill that Valeria doesn't have and some alegre
extra
as well.
Chill.
Exactly.
And some what as well? Alegre?
Alegre.
Alegre. Translate that for me.
It's like happiness but liveliness too. Like those
okay. I like that one.
Buoyancy of spirit.
Yeah.
Oh,
I love that. We're going to take a quick little sideline. Olivia, I'm going to give you a job. I'm going to ask you to choose a number between 2 and 47.
33.
You said that very quickly.
Yes,
why?
She did. 33. Why 33?
It was the first one that I thought of.
Well,
there you go.
Well, let's see what you chose.
What is 33?
Hi, I'm Holland Taylor, and you're listening to Offstage and On the Air on KOOP Hornsby Austin 91.7 FM.
Holland Taylor,
well,
we love her.
That was nice.
Indeed.
Yeah,
a little timely. She's coming back doing Anne, so.
Is she coming back here doing Anne?
Yes, she's coming back to, she'll be doing it at the Zach.
I didn't realize she was doing it. I knew they were doing it. I didn't realize she was doing it. Yeah, David is nodding his head.
Yes.
Okay. So you guys are back to No. Every time I saw it, I wanted to say Nolagar, and I knew that was not right. El Nogalar, mm-hmm. Which means the pecan orchard.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just, you know, because I'm native.
Cherries don't really
grow
in Mexico.
Are there pecan orchards in Mexico?
Oh, yes, tons of them.
Yeah.
I mean, really, it's more than like, I mean, this is taking place not that far across the border, you know. So you have like
the same terrain like that we have.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool. Well, y'all are going to do a little scene, correct?
Indeed.
Somebody set that up for us.
I'm happy to do so. So this is the top of Act Two. This is after the family has arrived back at the farm, the estate, and this is Vale has been tasked by her mother to make a very big meal for them that is currently smoking on stage.
So this is Krista Gonzalez, Olivia Jimenez, and Griselda Silva doing a scene from El Nogalar.
Dunya? Dunya, where the devil are you? Dunya, I swear, she gets more and more unruly each day. Dunya!
I'm not deaf
kept yelling, I'm coming, I'm coming, I'm coming.
Where in the devil did you go and hide? I have been calling you, looking for you all over the house. You know there's only you and Fulgencio now, and he can barely stand. Stop disappearing.
I've been here.
Do not tell me lies. Where have you been?
Shoot me in the head.
I'm not gonna tell you again about how you talk to me. I demand that you treat me as I should be treated.
Did you need me for something?
Ooh, you know, this past month you've developed a smart mouth on you and started running off to who knows where. Where do you go? Do your job.
I'm sorry, I'm here now.
Dunya, if you end up in a ditch somewhere...
I will never end up in a ditch.
Dunya, do not tempt fate. You think that I don't like you or that I don't worry about you.
You worry about me.
Dunya, yes, of course I worry about you.
Maybe better to worry about yourself in this house all alone.
Well, I'm not all alone anymore, am I? We have two very demanding guests who have insisted that we make them goat. In the traditional buried style, no less. Ugh, this heat, it's cooking my brain.
Because you're right by the fire.
I know.
Memo's here already. He seemed very excited about the goat. He's right outside the gates.
Did he stay out there talking to those men again?
Yeah, but it's just Pedro. It's just them two out there. Oh, and the Señora Maite.
What?
The Señora Maite. She's out there with them two. She brought out a tequila and they're there drinking it. They've almost gone through the whole barrel.
Oh, God, protect us.
They're fine. They're not doing anything. They were all three out there laughing and even singing a couple of songs. They were talking about the government and
the
who knows
what?
What else.
They're fine.
Nothing bad is happening.
Of course something bad is happening. I'm making a flipping goat. Why my mother got it into her head to eat goat, I'll never know. Wasn't she a vegetarian? When in my life have we made goat? In my life.
It smells good, though. You're good to make it for them. You are.
I think it's smoking too much. I wouldn't know. I've never seen it made. 5 years ago, I never would have been here making the goat. 5 years ago, someone, Dede or someone, would have been making the goat, and I would have been sitting by the gates enjoying aged tequila with everybody. Wait, no, I wouldn't. Proper guests don't sit out by the gates drinking añejo. This can't be a good thing, this little party of theirs out there.
Okay, if I have to watch Mommy accidentally pull up her skirt again to fan herself when she laughs, when she's really just showing off her legs, I will proceed to barf. She's over there flirting with those two. Ooh, what's that smell? It smells so good.
It's not ready. At least, I don't think it is. Is Mommy talking to Pedro? She shouldn't be talking to Pedro at all.
No, it's fine. They're going down memory lane.
Ugh, Mommy thinks that she can just let down her hair and say any old thing. I should go get her.
Don't! She's laughing and not inventing dramas. Gambling relaxes her.
What do you mean, gambling? With money?
I think, yeah, with money. Oh, what? Don't get crazy.
She's out there gambling our money away. Is she simple in the head? Tell me, because I need to know. Does she not see that I'm the one that has to make the goat?
The what?
Dunya, watch the goat.
Watch the goat? What am I watching it do?
Wow, what fun. Oh, my God. All right, so now hearing that, I would not guess Chekhov.
Well, it really reminds that like he thought of his works as comedies, and something I really love is that Tania Saracho, I mean, like she took like Dunya is Dunyasha in the Cherry Orchard, mm-hmm. but she took Dunyasha and made her like a much more central character, and she was also like she's written so often for Latina women who, of course, are hugely underrepresented in theater generally.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's like she wanted to create really awesome, fiery, fantastic, rich, deep roles for them. And like was right where using Chekhov to do that.
What fun. I love the pacing. I love the relationship that you guys have. Yeah. So that's rocks. And
I enjoyed that.
Olivia, you need some chill.
So hard.
Except when you run into that lower register, you scare me. So I think I always want to be your friend. When do you guys open, and how long do you play?
We open this Saturday at 8 p.m. We run this weekend and next weekend through the 27th.
And you're at the MAC.
We are at the Mexican American Cultural Center, 600 River Street.
Okay. And where can folks go to get more information about the show?
Teatrovivo.org.
Okay, wonderful. I'm so happy to have had y'all on.
This was awesome.
Thank you.
I hope y'all can stick around and mosey on backstage with us at the end.
Indeed.
Please
Wonderful.
Do.
That was Rudy Ramirez, Krista Gonzalez, Olivia Jimenez, and Griselda Silva of Teatro Vivo's production of El Nogalar at the Mexican-American Cultural Center on September 19th through the 27th. For more information, teatrovivo.org. And this is from Natasha Pierre and the Great Comet of 1812.
I want to be happy.
No, it wasn't. So I'm curious as to, you know what? We're just gonna pretend it was that because I think it never made it onto the CD.
I heard it in my head.
You did hear in your head.
I did.
Okay, well, that would have been In My House from Natasha Pierre and the Great Comet of 1812 if our engineer did. I was wondering why I didn't have that many songs on the CD. It's because I didn't sing that. And now
is that why the number count was short? I did that once before, I think, when I was hosting.
I just didn't change the numbers from last time. It's cut and paste. So let's talk about what's going on locally. What do you got?
Well, I forgot the piece of paper that was printed. Can we talk about the events at Ground Floor on Saturday?
I guess we can. You just brought them up.
Okay. Well, being that it's Peace Week right now, because International Peace Day is on Monday.
Yep.
We Ground Floor Theater is actually doing a whole event to be part of. There's many different organizations and folks. There's Poems for Peace at the Doherty Art Center, hosted by Robert Ferris.
That's on Friday. Yep.
And then on Saturday at the Ground Floor Theater is Peace Cranes with part of the Peace Crane Project. Some open mics for peace and discussion, followed up by a performance by the Therapy Sister.
Yeah, it should be a good time.
What
I love is the family part in folding the peace cranes is part of the Peace Crane Project. And we're
been practicing my origami.
Good, thank you. And
I forgot that, you know, I'm like, I've done billions of these, and I had a moment of I'm staring at a paper going,
So a good resource to go to is peacedayaustin.com.
.org
and see all the events. It's amazing how many different organizations are celebrating Peace Week
in so many different ways. So.
Right, and this is this is part of the UN's International Peace Initiative.
Correct,
and so that's always good too. I stumbled on something on the interweb today that the graphic caught me. And so I had to see what it was. And it is St. Edward's doing Mr. Burns, a post-electric play. Rudy, why are you all excited? Hold on. Yeah.
It's just a really super exciting show. The premise is really amazing.
Hold on. So what is the premise?
The premise is that it's set in a post-apocalyptic future where, like, all the TV and everything no longer works. And so it starts out with people trying to remember episodes of The Simpsons. Uh-huh. And, like, it goes as, like, decades pass. And now these, like, touring theater companies are, like, doing The Simpsons with, like, masks. So it's, like, kind of a theater history rewrite, but like imagine like with The Simpsons as the kind of the documents for it. It's super cool.
I saw that and I laughed too.
It looks like a lot of fun. It is playing September 24th through October 4th at the Mary Moody Northern Theater at St. Edward's. And it just looks like a lot of fun. And I just love the graphic. So kudos to the graphic. It is it looks like fun.
It's Simpson-esque, but apocalyptic at the same time. So
and it seems to be somewhat of a musical because there are score and lyrics. Is that right? Do you know anything?
I haven't had a chance to read the script. I've just heard about it, and okay. It's exciting.
The show is the book is by Anne Washburn, score by Michael Friedman, lyrics by Anne Washburn, who is also wrote the book, directed by David Long.
That's awesome. My brother's baby photo. He looks like Mr. Burns. Yeah, we laugh really hard. It makes me giggle. It's
okay. Now is time for Today in Theater History.
Dun, 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 dun.
Today is the birthday of one Lauren Bacall.
Oh.
And according to this, she had enjoyed a long career in Hollywood, evidently.
Did she?
According to this, she's also a Tony Award winner for Best Actress in a Musical. Two times for Woman of the Year and Applause.
Applause, that's right.
Yep. And in 1925, as a spoiler from the last song I told us, No No Nanette opened at the Globe. Has anybody seen No No Nanette?
I have seen it, but not the original.
You have.
The music in it's fun.
It is fun.
The tap dancing is
so fun. I know.
Lots of tap
dancing. I'm a sucker for the tap.
Who isn't?
Oh, great stuff.
In 1926, there was a detective story titled Broadway, and it played for 600 performances today, and it was written and co-directed by George Abbott, who was unknown at the time.
Really?
And didn't he live to be 100, George Abbott?
I think.
105.
Oh.
Do I hear 110?
Not from him.
In 1940 in Hershey, Pennsylvania, a little show called The Little Foxes opened with somebody named Tallulah Bankhead, who went on to do it in New York. But the interesting thing about this evening was she went to her father's funeral that morning in D.C., where she was the Speaker of the House. Oh, he was the Speaker of the House. That's silly. And then she went over to Hershey and did a show. Good for Tallulah.
Yep.
I should do my Tallulah, but I can't. let's see. Why did I put this? I don't know why. Oh, I know why I did this. In 1948, there was a road show of Streetcar Named Desire in Pittsburgh at the Nixon Theater. During mid-scene, the whole show comes to a screeching halt because somebody screamed fire.
Oh, was it someone on stage?
Yep. And Blanche DuBois was paid by Uta Hagen at the time. Wow. And they got a laugh because later on in the show, Blanche yells fire.
Okay, that's hilarious.
There you go.
I'm laughing still now. It's 2015.
So this is interesting. It's something that I didn't know. So this is the final. It says in 1983, tonight is the final straw for the producers of The Corn is Green at the Fontaine, starring Cicely Tyson. She's fired that night. She had missed a whole bunch of performances, and she was allegedly refused to take direction, and then the show closed.
Cicely Tyson.
I guess a lot has changed since the what's
what
it called?
It? A trip to Bountiful Pippin. Trip to Bountiful Pippin. That was it.
And then in 2003, some show that was a biopic or a bio show about Peter Allen called The Boy from Oz.
There's my Hugh.
Starring Hugh Jackman opened on Broadway.
My friend Tim Fitzgerald was in that. Shout out, Tim.
Shout out to Tim. Today's birthday's other birthday, Sam Spiewak. Way back in 1899. He's just like a couple of years older than me. Peter Falk.
Oh,
Peter Falk.
1927, David Copperfield. 1956. Yeah, he's older
magic.
Than me.
Making magic.
Jennifer Tilly and I share the same birth year.
Do you?
Yep. 1983. Mark Anthony in 1969, and somebody named Nick Jonas is also celebrating.
Okay, now sure. I know Nick Jonas has been on Broadway. What has Mark Anthony done that Mark Anthony's in the Broadway?
I don't know.
Birthdays.
I should have looked that up. Anybody know?
He took Jennifer Lopez to a play once.
You know what? We will reveal the reason he is in this at Back.
He wrote a musical called Cape Man, I believe. Cape Man.
Was he part of Cape Man?
I forgot he was.
Tyler
Sage. Yeah, no, I remember Cape
Tyler
Man.
For
I
the
forgot
win.
That he was part of that.
Yeah.
Tyler for the win.
Ding, ding. Thank
okay,
you.
Okay, we're going to take a little break and come back and talk to Tyler a little bit more.
Yes. He knows.
Hopefully, I have this queued up to the right thing, but don't be surprised if it's the wrong number. It should be no, no, no.
Bated breath.
I want to be happy, but I won't.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps and Nicole Shiro. We just had a lovely conversation with Rudy Ramirez, Krista Gonzalez, Olivia Jimenez, and Griselda Silva. And now we're going to talk to those folks doing Freud's last session, and that's David Jarrett. Welcome.
Hello, thank you.
Fritz Ketchum.
Hello.
And Tyler Jones.
Hi.
Howdy.
Tyler got
Freud's last session was, it got a lot of press when it, I think it premiered in 2010, didn't it?
2009, actually. It
9, 10,
in,
yeah. You know, 210, yeah. 220, whatever it takes. So is this the first time it's been done in Austin?
It is the first time. It's been done in a few other theaters in Texas, and in fact, after Hours closes, I think there's a production of it going up in Fort Worth as well.
I like to call that Cowtown.
Yep.
That's what I do.
Freud will be speaking with the country accent.
Though. Tell us about this show. What is it?
The show is imagines a meeting between Sigmund Freud and C.S. Lewis that there is no historical evidence ever actually happened.
But they think they knew each other.
But they definitely knew each other. Right. C.S. Lewis was up and coming at the time. He was a young Oxford don. There's about a 40-year age difference between the two. And Freud was in the last weeks, actually, of his life. He was 83 at that time. And the play is set on September 3rd of 1939, which is the day that Great Britain entered World War II.
Right.
And this takes place at Freud's home in London. Some year and few months before that, his friends had gotten Freud out of Austria just as the Nazis were coming in, and they relocated him to London, where he spent the last days of his life. So the play is a delightful. I saw the play in 2012 in New York.
With David Gallagher?
No.
No.
This was the original two actors who started the show in Barrington, Connecticut, and then transferred to New York,
uh-huh.
and their names now escape me, but you probably have them in the front of your book, Tyler, or
yes.
Maybe on the tip of your tongue.
Nope. But,
it's all right. It's awesome. Okay.
But I fell in love with the play, uh-huh. And I just wanted to have it done here in Austin very badly.
So much so.
That when it appeared nobody else was going to take up the challenge, I decided last year that I would do that. And so I leapt into the fray, as they say, and decided to put my producer hat on.
Right. So you're acting as producer and actor in this one.
Yes.
And this is a two-character play.
It is.
We have the entire cast right here in the studio.
You got pull, Lisa. Yes.
No, we got
pull. You've got pull.
And Tyler, I assume you're playing C.S. Lewis?
I am, yes.
Okay. I just figured that out. Actually, I knew it because there is a lovely video on jarrettproductions.com, which has the two of has little scenes from it.
Yep.
Little skits.
They're little skits.
So we're going to do some skits.
Yes.
Sorry. So what are the challenges? And Fritz, you're the director.
Yes, I'm directing it.
So tell us how you approach this piece and what makes it unique and what you love and what you hate about it.
Oh, I don't hate anything
about
it.
Well, I knew you were going to say that.
except maybe trying to find the right chair. But anyway, no, I absolutely love this play. It kind of speaks to, I think, everyone's struggle with faith and belief. And I think the juxtaposition of the two characters in the play and the debate between atheism and faith-based Christianity mm-hmm. is a platform for a lot of other issues in the play that come up, and it's very rich and textured because of that. Setting it on the eve of Britain entering the Second World War adds a sort of an element of heightened suspense to it. I love that. It's also about Freud's gradual health decline and C.S. Lewis trying to find meaning for him in that, and just that there's a lot of friction but also a lot of laughter in the play.
So this is a very character-driven piece,
absolutely.
I would assume,
yeah.
And intimate in a lot of ways.
Yes,
very much so.
Mm-hmm. Y'all are prepared to do a little scene for us,
sure.
Right?
Uh-huh.
Will you set it up for us?
Okay, this is very early in the play after they've exchanged a few pleasantries, and they're coming to the heart of the matter why Freud has invited C.S. Lewis to his study.
Okay, so this is David Jarrett and Tyler Jones doing a scene from Jarrett Productions' production of Freud's Last Stand. Last Session. Keep wanting to say Last Stand. Freud's Last Session.
Since we have so little time, perhaps we should come to the reason I wrote you.
One of my books.
Ah, you've written more than one.
I believe it's Pilgrim's Regress that's offended you.
Offended?
Yes. My satirizing you with a Sigismund character, his bombastic self-importance, his tossing the pilgrim to the giant because he can't bear being contradicted. My describing you as a vain, ignorant old man was a bit excessive, but I feel that when we put our belief systems before the public, we must expect the public to react.
As they should.
I'm sorry if you took it as a personal attack, but I can't apologize for taking issue with your worldview when it completely contradicts my own.
Which is?
That there is a God. That a man doesn't have to be an imbecile to believe in him, and we feeble-minded who do are not, as you claim, suffering from a pathetic, obsessional neurosis.
I didn't read your book.
You didn't?
Dr. Eric Larson, a dear friend of mine at Cambridge, shares my passion for early English literature. When your homage to Pilgrim's Progress appeared, he gave me a full report.
That I savaged you?
Professor Lewis, I have been savaged all my life. Do not be disappointed if your creation of a cartoonish character named Sigismund Enlightenment didn't leave me bedridden. But I must ask, if you assumed I was so offended, why did you come at all?
I was curious to meet you.
Even if you dismiss my work?
Not all of it, certainly. Your writings are always thought-provoking. When I was a student in university, we devoured every book to discover our latest perversions.
Well, I hope you found some.
We did. Then competed to invent worse.
You enjoy using humor.
I debate my students daily. Humor often tips the scale.
Are you thinking even unconsciously that debate is the reason you're here?
I see it makes no difference. I didn't choose the couch. Since you invited me, perhaps you should tell me why.
Though I didn't read Pilgrim's Regress, I enjoyed your essay on Paradise Lost. Very well written and many original observations. Paradise Lost is my favorite book. Many years ago, when I was separated from my future wife, it gave me great comfort.
You were comforted by a clash between God and Satan?
I didn't say whose side I was on.
Excellent. That's a great scene. What fun. So how difficult is it? So often, you know, as an actor, it would seem to be, when you're playing someone that's from history, rich in history and well known, that's tough because you've got to build a character around people, around a character that people already have perceived notions of. How is that for you guys?
Well, fortunately, there are not too many people around who ever actually met Freud.
So he was actually my therapist.
Other than you. Okay. And obviously, it does affect you because people do come with preconceptions. And so I think your job as an actor is to do as much research as possible and find a way to convey emotionally and physically the best aspects of that character.
Bring the essence of the character as opposed to resurrecting him.
Or doing a caricature.
Yeah, so you could also, I mean, I would think it would be sort of fun to play with their backstory a little bit and like leave fact for a while to sort of give yourself some layers that you might not have. Mm-hmm. There you go. That's something for you to think of before you.
I was going to say directions, Melly. So.
Gosh, we open in a week. We're going to have to go change everything.
Layers. That's it. Start from scratch.
Yeah. No, sometimes a cigar is a cigar.
Well, the interesting thing is that because they probably never met, the play is based on a book that Fritz is going to tell you about, and it's an interesting juxtaposition of both of their philosophies.
It's a book titled The Question of God by Dr. Armand Nicoli, and he is a Harvard professor who was using the sort of dual philosophies and constructs of these two men teaching a class, and it provoked so much discussion that he incorporated it into a regular course and then eventually immersed it into a book. Oh. And you see the juxtaposition of their lives, their works, their belief systems, their sense of humor. That's one of the really fun parts where C.S. Lewis tries to dissect a joke that Freud has told.
It's always fun to dissect jokes. That makes them more funny.
Doesn't it? Usually it doesn't.
Did you get on some syllabi? Because we hear that's a good way to get an audience.
We're not on a syllabi yet, but we're hoping for that because they're all intrinsically syllabi.
It seems
I like that.
It seems like actually a good thing to, and I do know what syllabus for those of you who are like, but it seems like a really good opportunity to get students in to see.
Yes. What we have found is that we have a lot of faith-based groups interested in, and some groups from various organizations coming to see the show as a result of that.
Oh, that's really
and speaking
cool.
of that, you were at the Trinity Street Theater.
Trinity Street Theater.
Which is a lovely theater.
Lisa beautiful loves space. That space.
I do love that, love that space. And actually, it seems very apropos for because it's sort of intimate. You guys are sort of intimate. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and the set designed by Leslie Turner is each day a little
love
bits
that
and,
Leslie.
Oh, it's just and it's so rich and detailed.
And her birthday was the other day on yep. September 11th. I didn't wish her happy birthday. Yeah.
Yep. Shout out
Leslie Turner.
Yeah. Rachel Atkinson is doing the lighting design. Susan Branch Town is our costume supervisor.
Oh, you have a really good production
we've
team.
We've got a great team.
Great creative team.
Excellent. Yeah. And when do you open? You said Friday?
1 week from tonight, September 23rd. Play through October 18th.
Great. At the Trinity Street Theater. Where can folks go to get more information about the show?
www.jarrottproductions.com. And it's J-A-R-R-O-T-T.
And the www is important in this case, as
it
I found
is.
Out.
It's because the wide world web.
Yeah, it does. If you don't put it in, it doesn't go there.
Doesn't work.
So great. Well, thank you guys for being on the show.
Thank you for having
us. Thank you so much,
Lisa. And hopefully you guys will trudge backstage with us as well.
Absolutely.
Okay, that was David Jarrott, Fritz Ketchum, and Tyler Jones of Jarrott Productions, production of Freud's Last Session at the Trinity Street Theater from the September 23rd to October 18th. For more information, www.jarrottproductions.com. We'll be right back.
An obvious connection.
Okay. Lovely shows all
around.
That
was a great show today. And thanks for that song. And that was one of my favorite shows. So
I know. Sideshow.
Yes. Love the sideshow.
Yep. So we have zipped down to the end of the show.
I know.
I want to remind everybody you can get the answer to the trivia question, which was what was Roxy Hart wearing at her trial? In mere seconds away.
Ooh.
If you're listening on the podcast.
I'm
sure you are.
You might be.
Thanks again for another.
Thanks,
another
Lisa.
Hour.
I have to let the listeners know you're looking kind of.
Yeah, okay. Well, thank you. So remember,
I threw
folks,
you off, sorry.
Please like us on Facebook.
Yes.
We need likes. Please
thumbs
stitch us
up.
On Stitcher.
Be like the Fonz.
Be like the Fonz. Stitch us on Stitcher.
Tweet us on
Twitter.
Twitter.
And how else do you get us?
Best way, Lisa and Nicole, delivered in your mailbox.
Right.
We just arrived.
Offstageonair.com. Stand by for Austin Monitor News. They're next, followed by another Bottle Down. We will be back next week when we look at what's happening offstage and on the air. And I just think this song is fun from Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. Something's Rotten.
I'm more than just a woman, baby. When the pressure's coming, baby, let me be your right-hand man.
But you're not a man. I'm the man.
Well, the curtain has just come down on Membership Drive, the musical. The exciting story of a hapless radio station trying to make ends meet in a traffic-encrusted world of heat and humidity. But we are backstage, and we have a good portion of the people that stuck with us. We have Rudy Ramirez. Welcome backstage, Rudy.
Hello.
Griselda Silva.
Hello.
All right, you're going to have to get right in front of that microphone.
Hello.
There you go. Olivia Jimenez.
Hi.
Krista Gonzalez.
Hola.
And David Jarrott.
Hello, hello.
We were saying before, it's a Mexican takeover.
Yes.
It's a majority-minority right here.
Indeed. It's 16 de septiembre. It's Mexican Independence Day.
It is. Is today 16?
I was just about to ask, is today Mexican Independence Day?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Well, there
because
you go.
Because there are some activities going on with Peace Day Austin, and I thought that was all fresh in my
mind. What is 16 de septiembre?
It is Independence Day in Mexico.
Independence from?
From Spain.
Okay.
And it is far more real and celebrated there than Cinco de Mayo is.
That's what I thought.
You right. know, I mean, like, it's when I remember talking to my aunt, like my tia who like died at 99. And I was like, what did you celebrate when you were growing up? She's like, well, we never celebrated 4th of July, but we always celebrated 16 de septiembre. This was like in Del Rio, Texas.
Wow.
And then it was just the celebrating that holiday.
So that answers my first question. You're from Del Rio?
I am not. My mother was from Del Rio.
Where are you from? Where'd you grow up?
I was born in Austin, Texas.
Here in Texas?
I was.
On Austin, I mean?
I was, but I grew up in San Antonio,
okay.
mostly.
We both have the same background.
Interesting.
Born in Austin, raised in San Antonio.
Nice.
Wow.
And I visited Del Rio.
There you go.
What just else? To bring it all back
I'm
together.
Telling you.
Maybe we you're related.
I was just going to say, were you related or neighbors?
Did you go? Okay, so what high schools did y'all go to in San Antonio?
Alamo Heights.
St. Mary's Hall. Mm. Wow, we probably didn't know a lot of the same people.
Why, are they close to one another?
No, well, like, I mean, Alamo Heights is one of the nicer neighborhoods, and St. Mary's Hall is a private school. It would, like, a lot of people would have gone to Alamo Heights. So.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, probably some connections
except
there.
They were Catholic.
La, la, la. So you went to Catholic school?
It was Episcopal school, actually.
Oh, okay. I didn't know yeah. they had saints in Episcopal schools.
They do.
Yes, they do. There's a few in Houston, you know.
Jewish. I don't know. I mean,
she grew up in Houston. So there's a few in your memorial
well,
area.
No, I knew about the Catholic schools, but I didn't know Episcopals had saints. Mm-hmm. What do I know? Not
Guess
much,
what?
Clearly.
There's saints in all of the Christian religions, pretty yeah. much.
Who knew?
Most of them.
Who knew? So you went to Episcopal school.
Yes.
When did you start theater? When did that little bug hit you?
I mean, you know, I did, you know, when I was in kindergarten, I did like a Christmas pageant kind
of
thing.
Well, of course.
You know, but like, I mean, I did it off and on. It was really my senior year of high school, I was in a show. And then when I got to college, it was a way that I thought, oh, I can meet people by doing theater. This experimental company, a student group was actually doing Jeffrey. And I was like,
great
play, I can do that. Yeah. And so I auditioned and I got the Sterling, the character that Patrick Stewart played in the movie.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that, like, I fell in love with it, and I really fell in love with experimental theater, and I directed that same year, and it was just like, directing is the best feeling in the world.
I was about to say, so you're known here now as a director.
Yep.
And so why do you say it's the best feeling in the world? Let's see if if we agree on this.
Well, for me, it's
because you know there's a right and wrong answer, and we
I
forgot
was just about to go. I know. Is there a right or wrong answer?
My submission is that you know when I remember just the feeling of watching the first actor I ever directed walk on stage. It was Sister Mary Ignatius Explains It All for You, and she comes on stage, and it was like, and she starts talking, and the audience laughs, and it was just like. I was getting the best birthday present I'd ever gotten. Yeah. It was like all these people had done this, had given me this amazing gift of like, I have this thing in my head and you're going to bring it to life? This is, there's nothing like that in right. the world.
Has anybody else directed here?
Yes.
Yeah. So to me, it's like, it's that feeling as a performer, as you know, when you're taking your applause and your curtain calls, that feeling you have as a director, it's times all the performers, all the designers, all the technicians for that director.
Yeah,
it's cool. Does that seem right?
It seems fair. Yeah.
Okay.
It seems like you're watching a whole bunch of your children succeed.
Yeah.
Like at the same time, it really does.
Yeah.
It's kind of like whoa.
Speaking of having children, it would be remiss if I didn't acknowledge. My child Sophie's birthday yesterday.
Bon anniversaire.
She was 7 years old. Yeah, she's a dog. We forgot to answer the a trivia question at the top, as we promised. So as per normal, I lied.
Yeah, but I forgot to even remind you.
You didn't
too.
Even remind me. So let's without reading the descriptions, read the question, and let's hear the answer. Let's poll our studio audience.
Roxy,
first.
While on the stand, this is about Chicago. Uses all the tricks Velma planned to use at her trial. What was she wearing? A, a lavalier down to there. B, her granny shawl. C, a Victorian cameo pin. D, an Alice blue gown. Or E, silver shoes with rhinestone buckles.
Okay, David, what do you think it is?
A.
A, a lavalier down to there. Krista?
Granny shawl.
Granny shawl, okay.
I choose F, nothing.
Nothing. Ooh, racy. Racy.
I would go with D.
Which was D?
An Alice blue gown.
No, then E.
Maybe. E, silver shoes
just
with
shoes.
Rhinestone
just
buckles.
Shoes with rhinestones. Rudy?
I'm going to go with the cameo.
I'm going with the cameo, too. So far, and you already know, so you can't vote.
I actually knew before I looked at the answer. Yeah. I tested myself.
Yep.
E, she wore silver shoes with rhinestones.
Oh, I thought she had the cameo.
Oh.
Okay, silver shoes. So,
okay.
Olivia, you Priscilla, sorry, you win the prize. You are now on my Christmas cookie list.
Perfect.
Where are you from? Are you from Austin as well?
No, I am from Laredo.
Pull that microphone closer to you.
Thank you.
I have a very dear friend from
Laredo.
Laredo
people that come on the show.
So, how was that? Is all your family still there?
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's wonderful in that regard. But yeah, I'm glad to be in Austin. It's a very different
it's very
bubble.
Different.
Mm-hmm. And I just need to
do Did you do
this.
Theater in Laredo?
No.
No. So you started here
mm-hmm.
when you went to college?
After. I was on my way to grad school and I needed to learn French. So
like
I
you
went,
were walking to grad school?
Pretty much. and then it was like theater just way, grabbed and me and was like,
the
yeah,
snow,
right. but yeah.
Did you make it to grad school?
I did,
which
but,
we call master school.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm. Well, I was going to UC Berkeley for neurophilosophy.
Well, of course.
Right.
What
yeah,
else
that,
would you
that
go
That was
to?
What I was going to guess.
Neurophilosophy.
Yeah.
Okay, so I understand neuro, uh-huh. and I understand philosophy.
What are they
but
together?
One would assume that philosophy would be neuro just because of, anyway.
Because of thinking.
Yes.
Right. Well, I double majored in psychology and philosophy at St. Edward's. And that was where I met that bridge and how that gap is so important. And I was trying to specialize in habits and repetition. That's what I'm interested
we
in.
We talked about Philip Glass last week, so that would have been good.
Yeah.
Speaking of habits and repetition.
That could have been my thesis. but they told me I needed to learn French, so I went to ACC to learn French.
Ah,
and,
très bon.
And I got bored, so I was like, well...
Why
did you
take French?
I should take. They said I need another language. They said Spanish and English.
Well, French would probably be easy for you to learn.
For philosophy,
Spanish.
Yeah, and it's important for philosophy. So
and
I
dancing.
Took it right.
And dancing, right? But, you can't plié without
you
knowing
can't
French.
On deux.
Yeah. But I, you know, in doing that, I was like, well, I should do something else for me, like ballet or dancing or just something fun. And there was a course that was stage movement, and the description was learn how to move in your own body. Cool.
Which is an important
so,
thing
yeah,
to do.
I was like, I would like to learn that. That would be neat. And that's where I met David Yackel.
Okay.
And he was the one that threw me into the theater scene here.
Wow.
So did you end up going to UC Berkeley?
No.
Or you just stayed?
I just left.
Okay. So it seemed, so I'm making the assumption that that wasn't all that long ago.
5 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Mazel tov.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Do you love it? Are you gonna stay with it?
With theater?
Theater?
Yes.
Her face lit up when she said that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry that the listeners couldn't see that.
I'm going to shamelessly brag on her. Griselda was voted best actress in Austin by the Austin Chronicle readers poll. This
were
year,
you really? Wow. Woo! Congratulations. Yay. Did you go to the party? Is it already?
No, I was in rehearsal.
Okay.
That would be
quite,
Rudy on the maniacal laugh.
I went last year, and it was fun.
Lisa was voted the lifesaver.
Yeah, best lifesaver.
Best lifesaver for the city of Austin last year.
I would rather have been best actress. But I'll take
you two are in the same club, you know?
We are.
I
know. There's not many of us that do that. We haven't gotten best radio show yet.
No, I'm waiting for that one.
David, what's new with you?
Besides producing Broyd's Last
Session? Seems to be. That's exactly what you said when I asked you earlier.
That has consumed the last year and a half of my life.
Yeah. So how does that feel? So wearing a producer hat's very different.
It's very different.
How did that feel for you?
Well, it's interesting learning curve. This is a big year for me because it was 60 years ago this year that I made my stage debut in San Antonio.
You had said that earlier today. I didn't realize that because you must. I'm going to guess you were very, very young.
I was 10.
Okay.
And
now we know how old you are.
Yeah, exactly. Whole numbers. And 50 years ago this year, I made my Austin radio debut.
Uh-huh.
And this year, I'm making my producer hat.
What was your radio debut?
It was on KNOW radio. I had been in radio for... 3 years before that, but it was.
What were you doing? Were you DJing?
Okay. That was my day job for many, many years.
Did not know that.
Yes.
Did not know that.
Yes. There's a little part of me in the Texas Radio Hall of Fame.
Is it true?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, I should have written Playbill. You should have been today in theater history.
You should have.
I'm serious.
So I guess it's producing. It's got to be. I know that when I've worn multiple hats on one production. And it wasn't with regards to producing, but it was when I was a stage manager by trade. And then when I started producing my own shows,
to save money, I hired myself to stage manage. And I never did it again after the first time. Yeah. So you're in a position now where you're acting in the same show that you're producing. Are there times that the actor like wants something that producer says no?
So far, we haven't had an argument with ourselves.
I was about to say, do you argue with yourself?
But it may happen before it's all over with.
Will you do it again?
Absolutely, yes. In fact, I just recently read a review of a play that I may be going to see that I think I might be wanting to
care
do,
to share?
No.
Nobody listens.
But no, I've been around this business, been in this business for 60 years, and so it wasn't like I was unaware of what a producer does, but I've never had to do all of that.
It's different when you're actually doing it. It's a lot
when
of work.
When you're in the thick of it, it's a whole, yep.
And so basically my goal was to get all of the heavy lifting done before we went into rehearsal. Failed at that. But I got most of the heavy lifting done beforehand, but we have a little rule that when I walk into the theater, I'm not the producer, the actor.
Smart. Smart. So other than this very secret production that you're thinking about, what's next for you?
Living through the next 4 weeks of performance with Freud's Last Session and then taking a nice little vacation.
Where are you going?
We're going to England.
And,
guess where I'm going?
Where?
To Freud's Museum.
Oh.
Which is the house that he lived in. Which is the setting for this play?
I was like, "Oh, okay." I knew it was one of his. It was a house. Yeah. His house.
It's his. Not it's a his house, study his is house, still the same way that that it was when he was there.
So wow, cool.
Nice little denouement.
Are you a Freudian? Would you? Would you?
I've slipped in my life. Yes. I must confess.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Olivia, where are you from?
I grew up here in Austin. I was
lots
born.
Of Austinese people
it's
here
like
today.
We never could find them, and now they're everywhere.
They're everywhere.
We're coming back.
That's awesome.
The city back.
So did you grow up here, or did you leave as well?
I grew up here. I left to go to college and then like wander around Europe until I ran out of money and had to come home.
Where did you go to college?
I went to University of Southern California out in Los Angeles, and I studied theater there. And then came back to Austin and had.
Before you say what you did in Austin, I want to find out what you were doing in Europe. Where did you go?
I was in this tiny town in the mountains of southern Spain. And I was teaching English to a bunch of apathetic high schoolers there. although when I would come to class, they knew they didn't have to do regular school, so they were really excited that I was there.
So not that this has anything to do with theater. So you're a Spanish speaker.
Yes.
But Mexican Spanish versus Spain Spanish. Was that a difficult shift to make?
Yes and no. Now I have this terrible mutt Spanish that no matter who I'm
do you ever speak
in
Castilian?
No, although every once in a while a little ceceo creeps into certain words because that's how I learned them, even though I know that's maybe not the real way to say them. That's how I learned them. And it's what I heard for a long time. So anyone I talk to, they're like, where are you from? That's not... You're not from around here.
So did you do any kind of theater, anything when you were in Europe?
Aside from making the children do plays in English, not really.
How old of children were you working with?
It was middle school and early high school. Oh. Probably the best one was I had some seventh graders who were super about it, and I wrote them a script for Little Red Riding Hood in English so that they could practice, too hot, too cold, all that kind of stuff. And they were so excited. They brought all their own props and even wigs. It was amazing.
So you came back to Austin, jumped into the theater scene here?
Yeah, more or less. I missed it after a while. And in Los Angeles, there's not as much theater. It's primarily film and TV that they're pushing.
There's still a pretty good deal of theater in L.A.
There is. It's harder, though, if you don't have a car.
I would venture to say it's impossible. Which, so you were in LA without a car?
I was in LA without a car. Oh, that's for cray. Most of the time, yeah.
Which is short for cray cray.
Yeah, pretty much. So I came back to Austin, where I then got a car.
Yeah.
Because now you need one here too. And yeah, jumped right in.
Wow. So what did you do? Any kind of theater in high school as well?
Yes, I have. My mother says I've been doing theater from the womb.
So,
I went to St. Andrew's High School here in Austin. It's another Episcopal saint.
I was about to say, that's one that's an Episcopal saint. Yep.
I know all about Episcopal saints.
I'm over here racking my brain. I may have been wrong there. I think there's only two or three religions in the Christianity that have saints.
So anybody here other than Nicole do musicals?
Yeah.
You do musicals?
In the past.
What have you done?
Most recently, I did Ragtime at Zach.
Oh, I didn't see that one.
There was music in Peter and the Starcatcher as well.
Yes, but true.
I did several musicals with
Austin. Do you dance?
Austin Musical Theater. What?
Oh, well, I didn't know you were the AMT.
Yeah.
Did you dance?
No.
No. No. No. Okay. No. Anybody else?
Krista and I met on a musical.
What'd you meet on?
Sleeping Beauty at the Vortex.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. And weren't you?
Yeah.
And you were. Y'all were on the show. On this show.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, I remember.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's funny.
Way back when. Yeah, and then high school, I started out doing musicals.
Where did you go to high school?
I was in a suburb of Dallas, Carrollton.
Carrollton, I know it very well.
Oh, I know Carrollton.
I don't really.
Yeah,
I do. That makes sense. But I lived in Dallas.
I know the name. So like a whole bunch of Texans here. Nobody other than I don't really claim Texas, but there you go. So did you do theater in high school?
Oh yeah, for sure. I started in sophomore year. My first show was Little Shop, which
is also that. By the way, a musical.
Yes. And then the
who'd you play?
I played one of the doo-wop girls, but we had like nine because they
you told.
As soon as you said this, I said like, we've had this conversation before.
Yeah, and then I moved on to doing A Funny Thing Happened on the way to the.
Also,
forum.
By the way, a musical,
right? Yeah.
And is being performed currently at City Theater right next door.
I'm like right next door right now.
Yeah,
that's peculiar. That's something peculiar. Anybody?
And also something familiar.
Thank you.
I actually showed a clip of that today because we're doing Plautus in theater history at UT. So it's just like, honestly, just watch
a little
Forum
piece of the movie.
And you're fine.
Just watch Forum you'll fine.
Seriously, that is all you need of Plautus.
You'll pass.
Better than a cliff note. I like that, Rudy.
Yeah. So where did you go? Did you go to UT?
No, I went to NYU.
NYU. That's where we had that conversation as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we went through the whole Manhattan Washington Square times. Park thing and how I used to go to the parties at NYU just because when we'd see things there and I was young.
You bought your drugs in the park. Come on.
I did not buy my drugs in the park.
Everybody else did.
A lot of people did. Right.
A lot of people did.
That's where you learned.
But oddly enough, we were surprised that we lived through because people go, you'd had people walking through the park going, loose joints, loose joints. And we go, oh, yeah, we have loose joints too. And we did not get killed.
Oh,
we should have been killed.
That just made my day.
Well, great. Well, we're so glad that all of y'all joined us here backstage.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for being here.
It's starting to get a weather where we can hang out backstage, and it's nice and cool out here on the loading dock.
Sure. Not a lot of heavy lifting.
Not a lot of heavy lifting. Go see El Nogalar and go see Freud's Last Stand.
Session.
Freud's last session.
Like the last stand, though.
I think that could be written.
That like, Freud going.
That'll be the epilogue to the Freud's sequel. Last sessions, where C.S. Lewis and Freud have a duel. It would work, and it can play right after Hamilton.
There you go. Yep.
There you go. Well, thank you guys for joining us backstage.
All
right, adios.
The reconciliation. We shall please proceed. With the duel, ready your pistols, and on the count of three, begin to advance. Rah!